Greetings to each one of you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior. Sometimes when we tell a story, maybe even relate a fact, sometimes we add in just a little bit of something that may overemphasize or may not be completely true. And we think, ah, that's not so bad. Sometimes we hear some information and we pass that information on with, you know, I thought about that or wondered about that, and it may not be exactly true, but that's not so bad. Sometimes we may have a thought or an intent or something that comes into our mind, and we know that we should not think about that or go there, and yet maybe we do anyway, and we think, oh, that's not so. But those are those tiny little steps or things, sin, that lead us gradually away from God. I remember our brother sharing during our revival meetings something that just struck a chord with me. And he said this, I can't quote it exactly, but this is kind of my rendition. He said, I believe that we are eternally secure as long as we are faithful. Y'all remember him making that statement? It was, to me, that was a very true statement, as long as we are faithful. And I appreciated Robert sharing with us this morning that we have the wherewithal within us to fail, to fall. And we have heard in times past from others, and I don't want to be judgmental, I just want to draw our attention to the truth of God's Word, that once a person accepts Christ as their Lord and Savior, they cannot be lost. That once you are saved, you are always saved. I want to read you a verse. Bear with me. Verse 13 of 1 John chapter 5 says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. That supports that thought, doesn't it? I want y'all to bear with me. Hear me out. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That supports that thought. Please bear with me. We can pick out certain verses in Scripture that would support that thought. However, if you look at the whole of Scripture, you look at the tenor and the context of Scripture, throughout God's Word, it clearly spells out that our salvation is not only based on the choice to follow Christ, but it is to continue in faithfulness and obedience to God and His Word. Those are key in being faithful and being eternally secure. And again, I want you to bear with me and hear me out. And I want you to turn with me, if you will, to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 33. And what is very interesting, it says it several times in this book the prophet Ezekiel wrote. And it starts off in chapter 3. And it says, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, it talks about God's warning to the wicked. But it also talks about the watchman and his requirements. And we are watchmen. But in chapter 33 of Ezekiel, it says in verse 7, so thou, son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. God was saying through this prophet, this is what I have to say to the children of Israel, his chosen people. And he wanted to give them a warning. And he said, I have set thee a watchman. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and then you are to warn them from me. Verse 8. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. How often have we had an opportunity to share a word in season with someone, and we didn't? And then after that moment, that opportunity was gone, God's Spirit smote our hearts. What will God require of me? As a faithful follower of Him, one that is striving to live for each one of us, striving to live in accordance to His Word, what will God require of me if I do not declare to others the truth and warn them about the impending doom? As Christian people, we have a job, and that job is to share the truth. And I care about you. But you know, there are many people that we meet along life's way. They are eternal beings walking this earth for a period of time. They are eternal beings, and they will, like Scripture says, stand before a mighty God one day. It is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. Where will that soul, and how will that soul stand? Verse 8 says, when I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But there's a price to pay for each of us as well. Do you care about your brother or sister, your fleshly brother or sister? I do. Do you care about your mom or dad, your coworker, your neighbor? Do you care about your children, your grandchildren, your nieces or nephews? And I know that all of you would say absolutely. If any one of us, and I'm sure this brings back memories for Daddy, but if any one of us were to see a fire break out in a nearby house or even a house that we were driving by, even if we didn't have any clue of who lived in that house, I would imagine that many of us would do something to try to help. Whether it was make a phone call, whether it was to stop and help, I think many of us would do whatever we could. And if it was someone that was a family or friend or even a neighbor, I think we would go out of our way to try to help to save that physical life. And I know of occasions where men or women, moms or dads, have gone back into a burning building to save their child, their husband, their wife, or maybe even a pet. And yet we meet people every day that are headed for the fires of hell, and we just go on our way without a word. And that speaks to me. These verses spoke to me as I read through Ezekiel and saw it written twice in this book. What kind of watchman am I? What kind of watchman are you? God says the wicked man will surely die, and if we don't share the message of the impending doom of his soul, her soul, we are going to be held accountable, and his blood will be on our hands. Now, I don't know if you've ever done any butchering, but you know when you do that butchering, you get blood on your hands, and you want to wash it off. And that is of an animal But I do not want blood upon my hands of any precious soul that God has created. And so we want to share the good news of the gospel of Christ, to give them the hope that we have within us of Jesus and His saving grace towards each one of us. These verses in Ezekiel carry some very, very sobering words that you and I are watchmen. We are watchmen not only of our brothers and sisters in faith, but we are watchmen of those others that I mentioned, and even our neighbors, friends, and the people in our community. Verse 9 says, "Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul." Paraphrasing that, nevertheless, if we do speak the truth of God's word, if we do warn them of the life that they are living, if we do offer them salvation through God's word that God has given to us, we've done our part. We have delivered our soul, and our hands are clean. But we look back at that other verse. We don't take the opportunity that God gives us. Verse 10, "Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, if our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live? Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel?" We look at the children of Israel, how God delivered them out of Egypt, how he delivered them out of so many things, and they turned away from God. And we look at those people and think, how in the world could they do that? And yet today we see the miracles of God in the lives of Christian people. And we have the word preached and we have it taught, and we still have people that are turning away from the truth of God's word and continuing to live apart from God. Maybe not necessarily an immoral life or something drastic, but just apart from God. No relationship with Him. God's word is truth. God is faithful. And His word clearly tells us what our destiny will be if we follow Christ. His desire is that we follow Christ and live. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." God desires that His people continue following. And then it says, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." It clearly tells us our destiny when we accept Christ and live in obedience to His word. We have an eternity that is secure as we are faithful. But it also tells us what our destiny is if we do not follow Christ, if we do not live in obedience to His word. And it has some pretty strong words here in these verses in Revelation chapter 21. And a lot of these places none of us would ever be. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters, we wouldn't classify ourselves there. But you remember I mentioned stretching that story or adding to. Maybe it's not completely true. And it says, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I don't want to go there. That is not my desire. And my desire is to forever be with the Lord. And so with that desire, I want to purge these things from my life. And I hope that that is what you want to do as well. Purge these things, even if they are small things. Purge them from our lives that we can grow more in the likeness of Christ. Because God wants us to be a part of His family. He wants us to be watchmen of our own lives and those around us. And He also says that He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. In 2 Peter, it says the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God desires a relationship with you. He desires us to reach out to those around us and to establish a relationship and then share that hope that we have with others and bring them also into a relationship with God. Why would anyone deliberately choose to continue living apart from Christ, from God the Father? Why would anyone deliberately choose for their eternal soul to be bound towards that condemnation? Can you imagine passing over? Can you imagine standing before a holy God? Can you imagine facing Him with that blemish in your life? Can you imagine Him with that small sin that is unrepented of? Can you imagine standing before a holy God and Him saying, "Depart from me. I never knew you." Sobering thoughts. Why would anyone ever deliberately choose that? Ezekiel 33, verse 12. Therefore, thou, son of man, say unto the children of my people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. Listen to that. We can live a righteous life. We can live a godly life. But it says here, therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his sin, his transgression. Sin separates us from God. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness. Neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth. We are accountable to a holy God. And whether it is small or whether it is large, we are accountable to a holy God. And yet I know that God's grace is sufficient. We know that. But shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. All the good things that we have done, all of our obedience to God ends when we choose sin. And we can live a godly life and we can be acceptable in His sight by that cleansing power of Christ. But if we choose and continue in sin, that righteousness that we once knew is there no more. And again, this is not just a failing. However, a failing is sin and it separates us from God. But we're not in and out and in and out. Because God's Spirit speaks to our hearts. When we fail, when we sin, That Holy Spirit is faithful. And that Holy Spirit convicts us of that sin. And then we have a choice to make. What will I do with that sin? Will I continue therein? Or will I confess it and be free, as God says in His Word? Hebrews 10, 26. These are some very sobering verses as well. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth to me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. Verse 31 ends up those verses. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Do you want to meet him in peace? Find that peace through forgiveness. Find that peace through repentance. Find that peace through the precious blood of Christ that was shed on our behalf, because it's a fearful thing to the fall in the hands of a living God with that spot or blemish in our heart, soul, or mind. Verse 14 of Ezekiel. Again, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, if he turn from his sin and do that which is lawful and right, if the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. None of his sins that he hath committed shall be mentioned unto him. He hath done that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. What an opportunity. What a blessing. If we warn the wicked and they turn from their sin, and they do which is right. If they make restitution, if they repent, there's life, there's hope, there's peace. But we have to do something about it. We have to repent, and then we have to make restitution, and then we have to be faithful in following Christ. 2 Corinthians. Now I rejoice not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorrow after a godly manner, that ye might receive the damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. We can be sorry because we did something. But true repentance is a turning away, is a turning around. It is going in opposite direction of the way that I was going. True repentance bringeth forth godly sorrow. And godly sorrow most often brings forth a broken heart and tears. And I don't say that as a blanket statement. And yet, I reflect on my life. Verse 17, yet the children of thy people say, the way of the Lord is not equal, but as for them, their way is not equal. Well, what are these people saying? It's not fair. It's not fair. We hear it all the time. And in our minds, sometimes things don't seem fair. But who are we to question Almighty God, our Creator? Who are we to question, God, is that fair? As I was studying for this message and thinking about this verse, I had to reflect on Jesus' parable in Matthew 20. And I want to read that fairly quickly. Matthew 20. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? And they saith unto him, because no man hath hired us. And he saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they had received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way, and I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last, for many be called, but few are chosen. I also reflect and think about the thief on the cross, crucified beside Christ. On the 11th hour, was his doctrine sound? Was his obedience sound? Was he baptized? No, none of that. And yet Jesus said unto him, today you will be with me in paradise. God's grace is sufficient. And God is fair, according to who he is in his character. Who are we to question a holy God about his character, his grace, his mercy? Be thankful that that man received a penny. Be thankful that that thief received salvation. Be thankful that other people have received the gift of salvation and maybe have greater talents than and can use them for God's glory. Be thankful for that and encourage them in that. Verse 18, when the righteous turneth from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, he shall even die thereby. But if the wicked turn from his wickedness and do that which is lawful and right, he shall live thereby. What do we see in those verses? Sin separates us from God. Whether we live a righteous life up to the point where we fall, where we sin, where we cut that relationship with God the Father Christ, or whether we live a life of sin and come to know Christ, sin separates us from God. But Christ is our advocate. No matter how good you are, no matter how obedient you are, if we sin, it separates us from God. And our eternal security is pretty shaky right there. But we have an opportunity, and that is through repentance. Thanks be to God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John, my little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. Okay? He was basically saying, he's writing these verses to you, don't sin. But it also goes on to say, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Thank God we have an advocate in Jesus Christ. Thank God he has gone to the cross and shed his blood. Thank God for God's grace and mercy in my life and the opportunity he gives to each one of us to be a part of that family, to live in faithfulness and obedience to his word. But be not deceived. John 1:8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Are you perfect? I'm far from it. I'm thankful for God's grace and mercy. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God for that cleansing blood. Verse 20 of Ezekiel. Yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. O ye house of Israel, I will judge you every one after his ways. How will you stand before a holy God? Whether you pass from this life to that one through death, or whether we stand before him when he comes to claim his bride, how will you stand before a holy God? 2 Corinthians says, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him, because we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. And so to each one of you, I say, watch and pray. And may we be found faithful. May we be a faithful watchman of our souls and those around for the glory of God. God bless you.